Bible. Last week we looked at the beginning of this chapter where God gave the prophecy about John the Baptist and Jesus Christ coming. And then after this great prophecy, there in verse 5, I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and to turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So tonight, I change not. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for this privilege, and pray you'll, Lord, bless us as we honor you tonight in your word, that you'll speak and teach us. And Lord, that you'll be honored through it, even our response. Lord, as we contemplate your person again tonight, may we just continue in awe of the great God that we serve and that has saved us. Thank you. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So he's given the prophecy. He's also given the warnings of judgment upon Israel. But then he says to Israel, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So what does he mean by that? What he's teaching is, yes, judgment is coming, Israel. And it did. And it's still there. And it's going to be even worse in the tribulation period. But he says, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. What he means by that is the promises that I made to you way back in Genesis chapter 12 and on from there, I'm going to keep them because I never change. And that should be a blessing to each of us. Amen. That God never changes. And if God has made a promise, as we'll see later, he's going to keep it. And that promise, if we go there, Genesis chapter 12, is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. I know that's a bold statement, but it is from this promise that so many other promises stem. And the prophecy here and the promise is specifically pointing ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this because Paul tells us so in Galatians. But notice Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is not a conditional promise, is it? This is what you call an unconditional promise. And he's saying, even though you've disobeyed and disobeyed and disobeyed, and I've judged and judged and sent prophet after prophet to prophesy of judgment and to try to bring you back home to me, you will never be completely consumed because I made a promise and I never change. Amen. And has the devil tried to break this promise? I mean, you got Nero in 70 AD trying to wipe out the Jews. A guy you've probably heard of named Hitler killed 6 million of them. That was the devil trying to wipe out the Jews. But they're still here, aren't they? I mean, you go through the Old Testament. Has anybody ever met a Canaanite? A Perizzite? Raise your hand if you've ever met a Jebusite. Where are they? They're all gone. Anybody ever met a Jew? We have Kiwi Jews. We have Aussie Jews. We have American Jews. We have German Jews. But they're still Jews, aren't they? They still identify as Jews. Even though they're spread throughout the whole earth, they still identify as Jews. You know why that is? Because of Genesis chapter 12. And so God, here it's like a loop, if you will. Here we have the very last book of the Old Testament pointing back to the first book of the Old Testament saying, I change not, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed, specifically referring to the Jewish people. But we also need to look at this beginning bit where he's saying, I am the Lord. Remember, all caps means I am Jehovah. We've looked at this many times. But he's saying, I am Jehovah. That is my person. That is who I introduced myself to Moses, the great I am. And that is the most prominent name in the Old Testament for God, the name Jehovah, the Hebrew name Jehovah. And he's saying, I want to teach you something about myself, and that is that I never change. The fancy theological word for that is immutability. It means God never changes. And the immutability of God is a very important scriptural truth upon which many other things are grounded, as we'll see. But first, I'd like us to look at that truth in some other scriptures and just be assured of it. Psalm 102:27, if you would turn there. The truth is, God is immutable. God never changes. And so the God of Genesis is the God of Revelation. Amen? Even though they're at least 6,000 years apart, it's the same God. The God of eternity past is the God of eternity future. Psalm 102:27, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Thou art the same. That's talking about God. This verse is then quoted in Hebrews 1:12. But let's look at another one. Hebrews 13:8. And notice what it says. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is immutable. Why is that? Because he is God. The immutability of God is a very important doctrine. Now, a lot of people confuse the immutability of God with the dispensations in the Bible, don't they? They think, well, since God never changed, then why are things different now than they were in the Old Testament? Well, that's because God might change the way he deals with man in a certain dispensation based on who he's dealing with, but his character never changes. So the fact that he's immutable doesn't mean that he doesn't treat different groups of people different ways in different time slots. But it does mean that he's always the same. And so anything that we can learn about the character of God is always true, no matter when you're talking. But one other verse here, James 1:17, that I'd like us to talk a bit about his character, just kind of in general, and then realize that anything, again, that we learn about the character of God is unchangeable. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, he never changes. He never varies. God is always God. And God has always been God, and God will always be God. So that means that the things that he teaches us about himself, and we'll start in Exodus 34, and we can't do a full study on this because it would just take us too long. It's a whole course, if you will. But we can at least see where God introduces himself via his character. Notice Exodus 34:6. Now, this is where the Lord put, and I think, did we just sing about the cleft of the rock tonight? Well, this is the story where God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and passed by. And as he did, he declared who he was, if you will. So notice Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So notice God here says, I am the Lord God. This is God speaking about himself. This is not an angel or a prophet. This is God declaring who he is. What does he say? He says he's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, he's good, and He is true. That is the God of the Bible. And once He declares these things, then it's always true because God is immutable. God never changes. Let's look at another one. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Again, these are just some samples introducing us to the character of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. There's a lot in that little verse. He's true. He's sinless. He is just. And He is right. This is the God that created the universe. Amen? And He never changes. Let's look at another one. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23. One of our hymns, one of our favorite hymns, comes from this verse. Right after Jeremiah, it comes Lamentations, right before Ezekiel, chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, "They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Amen. God is faithful. Now, there are a lot of promises that we claim as Christians that are based upon the faithfulness of God, aren't there? 1 Corinthians 10:13, classic one about temptation. "There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And we could just go on and on. So that, now you're seeing why the immutability of God is so important. Let's look at another one, 1 John 4:8. And so just in these couple of verses, we've seen God is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, good. He's true, sinless, just, right, and faithful. And then 1 John 4:8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And we all know that because of Calvary. Amen. And then we'll look at Revelation 15:4. Revelation 15:4. "Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art." And there's the number one attribute of God in the Old Testament, holy. The God of the Bible, the God of the universe, the God that we serve is holy, loving, faithful, just, right, sinless, true, good, long-suffering, gracious, merciful. And that's just a sample. So God says to Israel, "I am Jehovah, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." The therefore for you and me is therefore God's promises and God's judgments and God's counsel are untouchable. That God never changes. Therefore, if He's made a promise, He will keep it. If He's promised a judgment, He will carry it out. And there is no counsel against the Lord. In Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom to understanding or counsel against the Lord. It doesn't exist. Man tries, but it's useless. So let's look at some examples. Psalm 33, verse 11. And so what stems from this immutability, once we understand God's character, then we can go back and say, well, because God is immutable, therefore, any counsels that He has given are unchangeable. Isn't that good? Psalm 33, verse 11. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever." Isn't that good? So if God's given counsel, which He has to us, amen, stands forever. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." Another one, Romans 11, 29, if you would turn there. And again, these are all just samples. You're welcome to do your own study on the immutability of God. Romans 11, 29. "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." When you got saved, God gave you gifts. He doesn't plan to withdraw them and take them back. He does plan for us to put them to use and be good stewards of them. If God's called you to do something, He doesn't change His mind. It amazes me how many people say, God called me to do this, God called me to do that, and then 5, 10, 15 years later, they say, well, actually, He didn't. And I quit. Doesn't work that way. If God called you to do something, God called you to do it. And that's that. God never withdraws His gifts. He never withdraws His calling. He never changes His counsel. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Turn there if you would. And we'll see it again. It says, for all the promises of God. So how many of them? That's an important word, that word all, isn't it? Are, yea. And in Him, amen. Yea, of course, means yes. And amen means it is so. You cannot undo it. So, any promise that God has made to His children, He will keep it. Amen? Because He's immutable. And He's saying to Israel, judgment's coming, more judgment's coming. The tribulation, which will be the ultimate judgment, is coming, but never, never, no matter how hard the devil, no matter how hard man tries, will the sons of Jacob ever be completely consumed. There will always be the 12 tribes of Israel. Because we read in Revelation that one day the 144,000 are going to come from the 12 tribes, which means all 12 tribes survive 3,000 years of chastisement and then another 7 years of horrible chastisement. Even after all that, there will still be the 12 tribes of Israel because God changes not. That's a blessing to Israel, but it should be a blessing to us. So, I'm going to go around the room. What's your favorite promise? We want to hear it because God's going to keep it. Amen? Start over here. Raise your hand if you have a promise that's important to you. It's in your heart. Anybody? Raise your hand. Come on. What's your favorite promise? You should know it by heart if you have one. So nobody in this side of the room has a promise. Michael. Did He came and leaves us the same stuff? Amen. Hebrews 13:5. Beautiful. Who else? No other promises. What is it, Maggie? You got a promise. Oh, this isn't working out so good. All right. Yes, thank you, Ashley. Say it again. Amen. Psalm 37:4, beautiful prayer promise. Anybody else on this section? Brad? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Proverbs 3:5, good. All right, middle section. Now's your chance to shine a promise that really means a lot to you that you've sunk your teeth into and you're not going to let go of. Ezra? Amen. Psalm 27:1. Verse 14. First and last verse of Psalm 27. Very good. Anybody else in the middle section? A promise that means so much to me. I'm never going to let it go because God never changes. Amen? Who else? Yes, Cash.
That when He saved me, He will continue to keep me and establish me to the end. It gives me security eternally.
Amen. What God hath begun, perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Anybody else? In the middle section, a promise that means a lot to me. Any other promises in the middle section? Well, you need to find one for the next time I do this. I only do it like once every 2 years, but nobody else here? Roy? What, just because your last name's there? Well, let's hear it. Good success. That's their last name in Spanish, by the way. Buen suceso. Good success. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Amen? that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Anybody else in the middle? Promise, yes, Rachel. Amen. What's the reference? Do you know? That's a beautiful verse. What? Could you say it again?
Now I lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, O Lord, only makest me dwell in safety.
Psalm 4:8. Good verse. Have to add that to my list. Anybody else in the middle? All right, this side. Promises. Kevin. Amen. Praise God for that great truth. Anybody else on this side? Promises that mean so much to me? Brother Scott's wife was Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There's supposedly about 8,000 of them in the Bible. And every one of them God will keep. Amen? Because He changes not. So you can see how the immutability of God is so important, not only to Israel, because of all the promises He made to them about their future and their kingdom, that He will keep. And like I say, there is a movement now, even among independent Baptists, to start teaching and believing what's called covenant theology, which is basically that God is finished with Israel. They're done. And now the church has supplanted them, and the promises that He made to Israel are actually now for the church. It sounds good to us as church people, but what about all these unconditional promises God made to Israel? They were unconditional. Therefore, He's going to keep them. Amen? Because He changes not. But for us as Christians, now that we understand the character of God never changes, therefore He will always be patient, always be loving, always be merciful, hallelujah, always be long-suffering, no matter what happens, that never changes. And the promises that He's made to you and to me, no matter what happens, those will never change either. So God says, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah. And He says that over and over and over in the Old Testament. How many times did we see that in Isaiah, where He just kept saying, I am the Lord, I'm the only true God. So He says, I am the Lord, or I am Jehovah, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And then next week we dive into chapter 4, the final prophecies of the future given to Israel before the 400 years of silence before Jesus Christ. So I am the Lord, I change not. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are immutable. Thank you that we can trust in your word and the word's declaration of your character, and that we can believe your promises. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for saving us and giving us that assurance of our salvation, of eternal life, of heaven, and of your immutability. Thank you. And Lord, may it truly guide us like a compass, knowing that you never change. We are grateful for this and your kindness. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.